Man, this place goes to shit when JVL is gone for a few days. Let me tell you, I am running ragged over here. I'm trying to write a newsletter. I'm hosting podcasts and woof.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Secret Podcast. I'm Sarah Longwell, sitting in for my buddy JVL, but I'm here with my other best friend, my old friend, Timothy Miller. This was such a terrible week for JVL to be out, for JVL, because there's a lot of, like, good JVL fodder in the news. We got up this morning. We got another more than 300,000 jobs added to an already hot job market with low unemployment. Wages are now outpacing inflation. And so I think, you know, we did a little bit of JVL is, you know, write a lot stuff on the next level this week. But this is
also a little JVL's kind of wrong sometimes.
Well, you know, JVL can overstate. Yeah. He can overstate. But I do think his just like general and nobody has fought with him more than I have about how early he decided that everything was fine and people were stupid. But the reality has caught up, I think, with a lot of his angst about this. And it's good for Joe Biden to have a strong economy. There's just sort of no two ways about it. And I think that the thing about the jobs report that is, I think, interesting and important is the level of confidence in the stability of the economy is sort of what the Fed's going to need to lower interest rates, right? And so, and them lowering interest rates, which I think is probably going to be, I don't know if you have a thought on this, just like slightly politically complicated for them because they're very fiercely independent and don't want to be looked upon as interfering politically or helping Joe Biden by lowering interest rates. But it will invariably help Joe Biden to have interest rates lowered.
Yeah, I mean, barring another round of inflation coming, you know, I'm not a macro economist, right? And that's what I think what they're more concerned about is making sure that the inflation issue is stamped out before they lower interest rates again. And, you know, there was a 3% increase or whatever in the last report, which is about normal, but feels high when you're coming off of 8% and 10%, right? Inflation. So they should lower them, hopefully. I did a podcast with Josh Barrow. It's what Josh Barrow wants. It's what Bill Kristol wants. All the smart people in my life want them to lower rates. I want them to lower rates. I'd like to refi. So do the deal, Jerome Powell. I mean, I think your point about being scared of perception is something they consider. And again, it's like how our side, the anti-Trump coalition, like hamstrings ourselves constantly with like having to worry about the norms and the perceptions, which is good. I know, Sarah, I know you like that. You like to, you know, make sure that we're being good boys and girls over here.
I can tell by how hard you're rolling your eyes that you mean that as you say
I think it's fine. I agree it's fine. I agree it's fine. It's just like, ugh, I just wish that we weren't the only ones worrying about this stuff. You don't think it's not even going to cross Donald Trump's cerebral cortex. Like, oh, maybe I shouldn't tell the Fed, if he gets back in, the Fed to do the right thing. I mean, immediately he'll get back in and just like, lower rates, cuck. You know, I mean, like, I demands to do it. And I think when Bill wrote about this in Morning Shots, he was like that HW, this was something they dealt with, and they kind of did pressure the Fed a little bit. And I'm like, if HW did it, that's kind of like a green light to me. So anyway, hopefully Jerome Powell does the deal. The job numbers are good. I did, related to another topic you've been covering a lot lately, TikTok. I was on TikTok this morning. You were a little late. And so I was on TikTok, and I was like, oh, wait, I have to write a newsletter. So I was only on it for like 3 TikToks length of time. But in that 3 TikToks length of time, I saw a TikTok from a guy who is like a comedian. So, okay, it's comedy, but it's like Jon Stewart-like comedy, politics comedy. And he's walking on the street. And he's talking about how all his friends are getting laid off and how like the economy's tough for millennials and Gen Z right now. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm sure you have a friend that got laid off or something, but like the unemployment, we're at 90s level unemployment right now. And so I am concerned about this, that despite the continued new jobs news, I think I would have thought by April 5th that the vibes would have been a little bit better. They're pretty good. Vibes are pretty good, but like there's still some like some lagging complaining out there in the world.
There is. I do think we are fond of complaining these days, just in general. And I still hear a lot of catastrophizing in the focus groups. You know, when you ask people, how do you think things are going in the country? People still say terrible. But I will just with a nod to some of the green shoots, I will say in some of the Democratic groups, you're hearing more people say, I think things are getting better, feels better. So I think like we're just starting to hit like the front part of voters starting to feel like maybe things are turning around. And I think it's going to take a rate cut to get people like I think there's going to have to be like a real easing up on inflation that is noticeable for people to really see the turnaround.
One other status on this. Yeah. And I don't have it in front of me because I didn't know this was going to be our topic. But there was a poll.
Neither did I.
Yeah. We just do that live on The Secret, you know. There's a poll that came out that was asking people, has the economy gotten better? I forget if it was, has the economy gotten better in your state or how do you think the economy is doing in your state? Whatever it is. In all the swing states, it was like, there was like plus 20 positive feelings about the economy. And then when you ask the same people how the economy is going in America, it's like minus 20. Right. Yeah. And so it's similar to the crime stuff, but like, you know, where people are saying like, yeah, okay, I don't know. Things seem to be going pretty good here in Phoenix, but out there in the world, I don't know. Things seem bad out there. I keep hearing bad stuff.
Yeah. Social media did this to us because now if there's something bad anywhere,
somewhere,
something is bad everywhere. And yeah, you know, if you're at a tech company and AI is causing some layoffs because it's shifting. Sorry, man, you're probably going to have to go get a job in AI because it's changing the world. But there's also a lot of jobs out there. Anyway,
this is a good point though. I worry about this, like kind of how, you know, media people, since they're so homogeneous, sometimes distort like what is happening because like if they're natural and I, you know, a lot of times conservatives will be like, that's bias. And I'm like, well, it's not always bias. Sometimes it's just that a high percentage of people in the media have the same lives. So sometimes they over index on a certain concern. And I feel this way about the social media, right? Because I do think there is disruption right now in the tech industry. Right. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing, and you are seeing layoffs and churn. Now, my understanding is most of these people are getting jack jobs, and a lot of them have, like, RSUs and are, you know, buying houses in Tahoe and stuff. So it's not like, well, you know, it's not a Great Depression. But they have influence on social media, right? Like, the types of people that are experiencing this do, I think, have bigger microphones on, you know, Twitter and TikTok and these various things. And maybe that also is contributing somewhat to the perception that there's...
I think that, and I also think, like, especially for young people, for the Zoomers, like, they got robbed of a lot there during the pandemic and in their lives. And I think that there's just still a kind of a hangover from COVID in terms of people not feeling settled in their lives and the world still seeming sort of, you know, I don't know. I'm not close enough to it, but I feel like that's what I get a sense of when I do the younger focus groups is just they've seen a lot of bad stuff over the last decade. And I think for us who've seen we've seen the good and the bad. We lived through the roaring 90s.
Yeah.
You know,
was great.
Life was and so
saved by the bell.
And we still, you know, we complained back then. I remember when I graduated college in 2002. There,
and
everybody
we got saved
was
by the bell. The college years. That
we
wasn't
did.
As good.
It wasn't. I mean, I watched the college years because I watched the whole whiz. As long, if they did a reboot right now and it was like the 40s and everyone's getting, you know, everyone's getting kind of like divorced and remarried and people are, you know, people are taking their antidepressants, you know, whatever it was. I would watch that too. I would watch that too. R.I.P. Justin Diamond, who played Screech.
Dustin,
thank you. Oh, look at you. Look at you with that ball.
Dude, I got my spades out of the bell knowledge.
Okay. So, all right. My point is that
when JBL's not here,
things fall apart. There's no fact checking. But if JBL were here, he would be thrilled by this economic news and he would force us into a conversation. And I would be more on his side than I have been previously because I do think there is starting to be, like, people are too committed to the negativity, and they're not looking at the fact that, like, we really are starting to hit a place where the indicators are all going the right way. But I think the rate cut, if it got – oh, this is the one thing I wanted to say to you, though, to your point about the, oh, we fight with our hands tied behind our back. See, that's not really what – I just want us to do the right thing no matter what it is, sort of irrespective of the optics. And so I neither want them to lower interest rates because it is politically advantageous, if it's economically the wrong thing to do, nor do I want them to withhold a rate cut because they are overconsumed by the optics. And so if, like, the rate cut is what the Fed would do based on the factors they see on the ground, that's what they ought to do. And it feels like we're getting to that place.
That's a Merrick Garland lesson. That's where he failed. Really.
Yeah, it is. It is. He over worried about the optics and walked himself into a place where he was too slow to do the right thing. And now, ultimately, he got pushed into corners, had to do it because the facts were overwhelming. But then it was too late, and now everyone's mad because he moved too slow. And Trump is delaying and delaying. And George Conway and I have a great podcast we just dropped from yesterday, where we go deep into this Eileen Cannon weird stuff and some of the other political news of the day. Go check it out.
Hey, Sarah, there's more show.
Oh, there is?
But that's only for the people who are inside the Velvet Rope, the Bulwark Plus members.
Oh, they got to subscribe.
Yeah. Tell them to subscribe. Tell the
you
people,
should subscribe.
Sarah.
Guys, why wouldn't you subscribe? You get all kinds of things. You get some extra me and JBL. You get some extra me and George Conway. You get JBL's Triad. It's one of the best things the Bulwark offers. I read it at least once or twice a week.
Yes. Go and subscribe. We'd love to have you.